Welcome back to Sermons. This is episode 54, entitled Wagons Ho, for reasons that we'll find out later. And we're starting at the beginning of Numbers chapter 6. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. Now, the Hebrew word is nazir, so really, the English word should be Nazirite instead of Nazirite. The Nazirites, as I'll call them, dedicated themselves to their religion, either for life or for a specified period of time. And they avoided anything that could make them stray from that. So they wouldn't drink wine or other alcoholic beverages and wouldn't even eat grapes if there was a chance that some partial fermentation had taken place. Now, this was way more strict even than the rules for the priests, who were allowed to drink wine if they weren't actually performing their duties, their priestly duties. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of his separation there shall no razor come upon his head, until the days be fulfilled in which he separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. We'll find out in a later book that Samson, you know, the strong man Samson, was a Nazirite, or a Nazirite. And that's why his strength was in his hair, you know, because his long hair was proof of his religious devotion. And he made the mistake of telling Delilah, and I'm sure you know this story, or have heard of it anyway. It was in Judges 16:17. He told her this. He told her all his heart and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazirite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. So she let him go to sleep with his head in her lap, and when he was sleeping soundly, she cut off his seven locks, which I guess were like dreadlocks, and shaved his head. Now, for him to not wake up during that process, it was almost like he was passed out drunk. But since he was a Nazirite, that couldn't have been the case. So she must have drugged him somehow. It's the only thing I can figure. And when he woke up, he found that he had lost his hair. And, you know, that was the symbol of his religious devotion. So he started to have self-doubts, and that sapped his strength. He had performance anxiety. He couldn't go and defeat whole armies by his lonesome anymore. But then later on, when his hair started growing back out, he got over his performance anxiety and put on a performance that brought down the house. Sorry. Well, let's get back to the book of Numbers. All the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father or for his mother, for his brother or for his sister when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. So because he couldn't be around dead people, you know, if a close relative died, he couldn't even attend the funeral, much less help in the preparation. And I say he, but it could also be a she, since women could be Nazirites too. All the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. And if any man die very suddenly by him, and he hath defiled the head of his consecration, then he shall shave his head in the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day shall he shave it. And on the eighth day he shall bring two turtles, turtle doves, or two young pigeons to the priest, to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering, and make an atonement for him, for that he sinned by the dead, and shall hallow his head that same day. And he shall consecrate unto the Lord the days of his separation, and shall bring a lamb of the first year for a trespass offering. But the days that were before shall be lost, because his separation was defiled by being around a dead person, even though that was unavoidable in this case, because the person died suddenly and unexpectedly. And this is the law of the Nazarite: when the days of his separation are fulfilled, he shall be brought unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and he shall offer his offering unto the Lord, one he lamb of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish for a sin offering, and one ram without blemish for peace offerings. So three sheep had to die before a Nazarite could stop being a Nazarite. And a basket of unleavened bread, cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, and wafers of unleavened bread anointed with oil, and their meat offering and their drink offerings. And the priest shall bring them before the Lord, and shall offer his sin offering and his burnt offering. And he shall offer the ram for a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, with the basket of unleavened bread. The priest shall offer also his meat offering and his drink offering. And the Nazarite shall shave the head of his separation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall take the hair of the head of his separation, and put it in the fire which is under the sacrifice of the peace offerings. So his hair got sacrificed along with the sheep and their wool. And the priest shall take the sodden shoulder of the ram, and one unleavened cake out of the basket, and one unleavened wafer, and shall put them upon the hands of the Nazarite, after the hair of his separation is shaven. And the priest shall wave them for a wave offering before the Lord. This is holy for the priest, with the wave breast and heave shoulder, and after that the Nazarite may drink wine. So once he's no longer a Nazarite, he can shave his head and get drunk. This is the law of the Nazarite who hath vowed, and of his offering unto the Lord for his separation, beside that that his hand shall get, according to the vow which he vowed, so he must do after the law of his separation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now, I used to go to a church where that blessing was repeated near the end of every service. And I really didn't think much about it then, but now I'm remembering how back in Exodus, I think it was, if you saw Lord Yahweh's shining face, you were a dead man. So you didn't want him lifting up his countenance upon thee, because you didn't want that kind of peace. What's the difference now? If this was still just talking about the Nazarites or the Nazirites, I might think it was because by devoting themselves to their religion, they had made themselves worthy of viewing the face of God. But it doesn't really say that. It's in the same chapter as all the other stuff about the Nazarites, but the chapter divisions weren't in the original Hebrew. Those were added later. So I don't know. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. And that's the end of chapter 6. And it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it and sanctified it and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them, that the princes of Israel, heads of the house of their fathers, who were the princes of the tribes and were over them that were numbered, offered. And they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon for 2 of the princes and for each one an ox. And they brought them before the tabernacle. Now there were 12 tribes of Israel, remembered. Each one offered an ox and half of a covered wagon. I don't know if they were covered wagons like the one in the show art. They might have been a little fancier than that, since they were princely gifts. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take it of them, that they may be to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. And Moses took the wagons and the oxen, and gave them unto the Levites. You know, to be used to transport the tabernacle and its contents from place to place. 6 wagons total, each pulled by 2 oxen. 2 wagons and 4 oxen he gave unto the sons of Gershon according to their service. And 4 wagons and 8 oxen he gave unto the sons of Merari according unto their service, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. You know, though that group got twice as many wagons and oxen because they were responsible for more of the heavier, bulkier stuff. The boards, the bars, the pillars and such, while the Gershonites had mostly, you know, hangings made of fabric. Light stuff, lightweight stuff. But unto the sons of Kohath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders. You know, they weren't allowed to carry the ark and the coffee table and the candelabra in a wagon, you know, obviously, because all the jostling around might damage them, and it might even be dangerous, especially in the case of the ark. And the princes offered for dedicating of the altar in the day that it was anointed, even the princes offered their offering before the altar. And the Lord said unto Moses, They shall offer their offering, each prince on his day, for the dedicating of the altar. And he that offered his offering the first day was Nashon, the son of Amminadab, of the tribe of Judah. And his offering was 1 silver charger. The weight thereof was 130 shekels. 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary. Both of them were full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering. Remember, meat offerings are not meat. They're meatless meat offerings. 1 spoon of 10 shekels of gold, full of incense. 1 young bullock, 1 ram, 1 lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Nashon, the son of Amminadab. On the second day, Nethaneel, the son of Zuar, prince of Issachar, did offer. He offered for his offering 1 silver charger, the weight whereof was 130 shekels, 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering, 1 spoon of gold of 10 shekels, full of incense, 1 young bullock, 1 ram, 1 lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and for a sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Nethaneel, the son of Zuar. Now, does Nethaneel's offering sound a little familiar? Yeah, it does, because it's the exact same as Aminadab's offering. And there are still 10 more of these princes of the tribes of Israel to go. And each one of them has the exact same offering too. And for each one of those, it goes through the same list. It writes the whole thing out again, or he, whoever it was, Moses or whoever, wrote the whole thing out again over and over 12 times, you know, listing the silver charger that was 130 shekels, the silver bowl that was 70 shekels, and you know, the fine flour mingled with oil for the meatless meat offering, and the spoon full of incense, and the bullock and the ram and the lamb and the kid of the goats, and the two oxen, the five rams, the five he-goats, the five lambs of the first year. You know, it goes through all those for each and every one of the princes of the tribes. They all had the identical offer. Looks like they could have written it out, you know, and just said in each one of the princes, you know, Aminadab and Nathaniel, you know, whoever the ones after that were, they gave all this. Were they just trying to get more practice writing? Was it just like for the purpose of the school children, you know, to write this out, like write 100 times on the blackboard? Oh, my God. So I'm not going to read the whole thing over for you. I'm sure you're relieved. Instead, I'll read from Kyle and Delitzsch's Biblical Commentary on the Old Testament, which says, Moses was directed by God to receive the gifts from the princes on separate days, one after another, so that the presentation extended over 12 days. The reason for this regulation was not to make a greater display, as Noble supposes, some sort of authority, I guess, or to avoid cutting short the important ceremony of consecration, but was involved in the very nature of the gifts presented. Each prince, for example, offered one, a silver dish of 130 sacred shekels weight, i.e. about 4.5 pounds, a silver bowl of 70 shekels weight, both filled with fine flour mixed with oil for a meat offering, three, a golden spoon filled with incense for an incense offering, four, a bullock, a ram, and a sheep of a year old for a burnt offering. Five, a shaggy goat for a sin offering. You know, may have seen pictures of these goats that they sacrifice. Cute little things. You know, a shaggy goat. What could be cuter than a shaggy goat? And they're going to kill these. Oh, Lord. Five, two oxen, five rams, five he-goats, and five sheep of a year old for a peace offering. Out of these gifts, the fine flour, the incense, and the sacrificial animals were intended for sacrificing upon the altar, and that not as a provision for a lengthened period, but for immediate use in the way prescribed. This could not have been carried out if more than one prince had presented his gifts and brought them to be sacrificed on any one day. For the limited space in the court of the tabernacle would not have allowed of 252 animals being received, slaughtered, and prepared for sacrificing all at once, or on the same day. And it would have been also impossible to burn 36 whole animals, oxen, rams, and sheep, and the fat portions of 216 animals upon the altar. Now, that's the reason I read this is because it gives the total slaughter that they went through. They had to spread the slaughter over 12 days due to time constraints. Now, I don't know what could have possessed such an advanced alien race as the Yahwehlians to have such a bloodlust that they instructed their followers to kill so many animals for no real reason. But apparently they did. And when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, I'm trying to figure out who him refers to. Must be the Lord. And when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the Ark of Testimony, Ark of the Covenant, from between the two cherubim. And he spake unto him. Now, evidently there was no video in this transmission, only audio. Since Moses apparently didn't see who was speaking to him, he only heard the voice. Now, some authorities will tell you that the reason Moses didn't see the Lord is that he was outside the veil, which he could hear through but not see through. Now, those authorities say that not even Moses was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. And they may be right. But in that case, how would he know that the voice was coming from the mercy seat between the two cherubim? I think he had to have had some kind of visual clue that let him know where the voice was coming from. Maybe something like the flicker of an old-time radio in the darkness. And maybe he could see that flicker through the veil. And I say in the darkness because there was no light source inside the Holy of Holies, since the candlestick, you know, the holy candelabra, was outside the veil. You know, and if the veil was thin enough, the flicker of a radio dial might be visible from outside the veil. Well, that's the end of chapter 7, and chapter 8 talks about that holy candelabra. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, When thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold, unto the shaft thereof, unto the flowers thereof was beaten work, according unto the pattern which the Lord had shewed Moses. So he made the candlestick. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the Levites from among the children of Israel, and cleanse them. And thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. And let them take a young bullock with his meat offering, even fine flour mingled with oil, and another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering. So here we go again with the animal sacrifices. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. And thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord, and the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord. What? For an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. They're not going to sacrifice the Levites, are they? And the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks. And thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for the Levites. So, by laying their hands on the bullocks, the Levites are making them the sacrifice instead of themselves. I think we saw something like this once before, back at the beginning of Leviticus, when they were making an offering for all the 12 tribes and the a representative from each tribe laid hands on the bull and transferred their sins and transgressions to it, so that it could be sacrificed in their place. I think you can find that in the show art for a previous episode. And thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons, and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt cleanse them and offer them for an offering. For they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel, instead of such as open every womb, even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel, have I taken them unto me. For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. And I have taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel. Which was a fairly even trade according to the census, the numbering of the tribes. That's part of what gives this book of Numbers its name. But they still had to levy a little tax, if you remember, to make up the slight difference between the firstborn and the Levites, the numbers of them. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, and to make an atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary. And Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites according unto all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did the children of Israel unto them. And the Levites were purified, and they washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord, and Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that went the Levites in to do their service in the tabernacle of the congregation before Aaron and before his sons, as the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did they unto them. I can't say much for Moses' writing style. I just can't dig it. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This is that belongeth unto the Levites, from 25 years old and upward, they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And from the age of 50 years, they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof, and shall serve no more, but shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation, to keep the charge, and shall do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites touching their charge. Well, that's the end of chapter 8, and we're just about out of time. So we'll pick it up next time at the beginning of Numbers chapter 9. Until then, keep the faith, perform your service, and look forward to the day you can shave your head and party hardy.